Fargo, the new virtual assistant from Wells Fargo, makes banking faster and easier. Like this.
Fargo, what's my checking account routing number?
And this.
Fargo, turn off my debit card.
And this.
Fargo, what did I spend on groceries last month?
And that's just the beginning. Do you Fargo? You can. In the Wells Fargo mobile app. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/getFargo.
Terms and conditions apply. Your mobile carrier's availability and message and data rates may apply. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. member FDIC.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Chad here in Los Angeles, and welcome to Leadership Leanin'. Hey, first of all, I want to say thank you to everybody for subscribing, leaving comments. I love in the year on Spotify, they're doing the wrap up of the year. Thank you to everybody that posted that Leadership Leanin' was the most listened to podcast for you. Thank you for all the encouragement, all the support, sharing videos. We appreciate you. You are in for a treat today, because I have with me one of my favorite designers.
Oh, man.
One of my favorite people. I saw him last night at a party, GQ Man of the Year party, and he has come here today the next day. And there's a backstory to that. But I've got Ruigi in the house. Ruigi, thank you so much for coming.
I'm honored. And honored to be here.
Being on Leadership Leanin'. You the man. A lot of respect for you. And
thank you.
I'm excited to dive in. I want to first start with your story, mm-hmm. because I think it's such a unique, incredible. I was talking to B. Wynn earlier today, and I said, you know, I'm interviewing Ruigi. I got Ruigi.
I love him.
He's the greatest.
Yeah. Family guy.
And he said he's a big family guy. He said, you know, Ruigi, what's cool about him is like it's an actual rags to riches story.
Yeah.
Like that.
There was tall tales even when I was in high school that like I was a trust fund kid or something, you know, or like my,
right.
No, there was one in when I was a senior that they said I sold a brand to like, you know, one big company like Urban Outfitters, like I sold a brand to them and I made this money and I was like, I'm just going to let them talk.
Yeah.
You know? The truth is what matters, and I don't have to tell them anything.
This is crazy. So yeah. You move here to America when you were how old?
I was 9 years old.
9 years old.
Yeah, 9 years
old. And this was mom and dad's idea?
Mom and dad's idea. My father, you know, he used to take us really everywhere he was working. So he was an architect.
Wow.
Went to Saudi Arabia, Hong Kong, China, you know, name it. He was there.
Wow.
And he brought us because he's a big, big family guy.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, and we decided that it was best for the whole family to grow in America, and really for the true story of a better opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I'm very, very supportive of immigrants and
absolutely.
Immigration and, you know, like just fueling that attention to, like, you know, if we're talking real inclusivity, then, you know, we have to think about like the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Yeah. So you come here at 9.
Yeah.
And how long until you really acclimate and you feel like, all right.
It took me like a full year. Cause you know, you go through like 9 years old, you know, that's like developmentally, you're just still like, you're growing, you know? And
right.
I had my friends, I had my everything set up, and it's basically starting a new life. Didn't know how to speak English.
This is like third, fourth grade.
Yeah, I was in fourth grade. So it's funny because I tested as gifted, but I didn't know how to speak English.
Wow.
I read English, but I didn't know how to speak it. So then they were like, well, where do we put this guy? He needs to be in ASL and, you know, all this stuff. Yeah, there's a funny story that, you know, there was an instruction that said to bubble in the answers. So all I was doing was Xing the answers, but I got the answers correct. But I was Xing it. And they were like, do you not know how to bubble? I was like, I've never heard that before, you know?
And it's unbelievable.
And this funny story of like this young fella that was sitting next to me kept telling me, scoot over. And I'm looking at him like, yeah.
He like...
Yeah, I didn't know what scoot over meant.
Yeah, you
know?
Yeah,
and
right.
And my mother told me that, you know, even if you don't know the answer and if you don't know how to answer it, say you know.
Wow.
You know, like, you know, like, because she used to watch like Friends or something.
Right.
And then, you know, like when you can't finish a statement, you're just like, you know. But, you know, as I get older, I'm thinking about it. I think that was just like a testament of how strong my mother was. She never wanted us to feel like we were like losing.
Right.
Regardless if you don't know the answer, don't say you don't. Like, you open and willing to learn it.
I love that.
You know? So then you're actually not stopping the growth. You know, that's the thing that we were talking about. You're not stopping the update.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like you have that opening to still learn it.
So you have both of your parents really in your life. Both of your parents are you know, voices and helping raise you. And so you've got family going for you. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of values.
Strong.
You know, at home. At what age do you go, I'm an artist. Like, I can tell I'm gifted in this.
You want me to tell you a real timeline?
Yeah.
When I was younger, I was drawing on my walls. And I could see that the kids around me weren't drawing it like high level, because I was like, you know, they would do like, you know, Pikachu stuff and, you know, like different drawings. And I was drawing like actual real looking Dragon Ball Z. They were like, this is the actual drawing. And I'm like, yeah, I did it. Yeah, I did it. You know,
no big deal.
Yeah. You know, like when you're young, you draw like little piggies and stuff. I was drawing realistic pigs, you know? So then they were like, okay, this guy actually can draw. And then I watched my mother, you know, paint, draw, like make dresses, make our uniforms, make our costumes for plays. Crazy. So she was fully multidimensional.
Wow.
You know, my mother is actually, I always ask her, I was like, you know, is there anything you wanted to do before, like, you get older or whatever, before it's time doesn't permit, you know? And, you know, because I tell her it's never too late. You can do anything.
Right.
Anything. You know, and I keep motivating her to do that. There I am again with the, you know,
you know,
that's, I guess that's me holding my family with me. Right.
Right.
But yeah, so then it started off with that. And, I took an art class in high school. Cause I think I'm a firm believer that, like, if it's art, I feel like it should just come naturally.
Yeah.
You know, you breathe it, you know, you're not taught how to, like, it's choices, it's taste.
Right.
Right. You just don't, like, there's no real answer to, like, how you can choose things.
Wow.
You know?
I love that. Talk more about that. I've never heard anybody say it that way, but I agree with that. Art is it's natural.
Yeah. It's innate. It's like, it's, you're born.
Like, when you put your outfits together, I love watching the way that you dress.
Yeah. I mean, subconsciously we're like, we have, you know, different reference points because, you know, we see it throughout.
Right.
You know, but there is like that inner fuel, obviously, that is just inexplainable. Like, no science can explain that. It's just soul. It's just soul.
Man, that I love that thought. That's a great way to say it.
Yeah.
So you're drawing at what age? I love the high school story you told at B's birthday party, where you're like, you know, Jerry and B used to kick me out of their parties.
Yeah,
when I was in high school.
Yeah, Jerry was actually one of the first guys that welcomed me to, like, to partake and hang out with them.
Wow.
You know? But then he kind of gave me like the, oh, okay, cool. Like, okay, cool, young guy. You think you're, go think you're very cool. Go ahead, you know? I snuck into their section and I got kicked out.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh. But one of my longtime friends told me, and he said this to me, that I once told him that, like, I don't want the introduction now. Wait till I actually have something to be introduced to. I want my work to speak for me.
Wow.
And I was like, damn, I said that at a young age?
Wow.
Like, when I was in, like, roaming around 18 years old. Because he was like, so I was going to introduce you to all these guys or whatever. And I'm like nah, not yet. Not
timing.
Yet. I got nothing to about me.
Right, know? Right. So what age do you step into clothes, though? So you're drawing.
I'm drawing, I'm painting. I did a full portfolio to submit to, in my high school, to submit to an art school to get, like, scholarships and stuff. And that portfolio got stolen. I was like,
that's crazy.
Crazy. It got stolen. I did a series of, like, big screaming faces. So they were all realistic in realism. And when I realized that got stolen, I didn't see it as a negative, but I saw it as someone was passionate enough about my artwork that someone wanted to steal it. I was like, oh, there's a business.
Yeah.
There's a business in the vision, you know? So I graduated, you know, and I had an intense high school speech talking about how I didn't need school and all this stuff. And that happened. And then I graduated and I'm like, oh shoot, I don't know what to do anymore. I just told everyone I don't need school,
right?
Which I'm not for. You know, I actually think education is super important. I think now more than ever,
Absolutely. We
need to put focus and actually real importance on like our teachers and just education.
It was crazy. I had a meeting last night and I was really motivated. I told my wife today, I said, this meeting that I had motivated me even more for my sons that I want to raise up smart kids.
Yeah.
Because the way that I can help their future is if they are really good at math.
Yeah.
And they understand literature.
Yeah.
And they understand history and they're well-rounded individuals. Now that we're adults and you're running a business, I run an organization. It's like, you got to be really sharp.
Yeah. And mathematics isn't just purely numbers. It's even a life thing too. If you think about it, every mathematical thing is a problem.
Which
a problem happens in life. And what you do is you find the solution, the answer.
Right.
So that's a life thing. You know? You come with problems and you've rise up to the occasion and build and equate solutions.
Right.
You know, so that's why that's why I think it's necessary for kids to, like, there needs to be the leaders now is to put focus on our education and
totally
make sure that we're not, you know, as it's amazing that, you know, the world is moving so fast. There's the internet, you can beat things and all that stuff, but we still need our scholars. We need our, you know, we need our doctors. We need, you know, the world will only advance with educated people.
Absolutely.
You know, and you know, sometimes it's limited.
But so you're like, oh man, I regret saying that. I take it back.
I take it all the way back more than ever because, you know, my little brother to me is like the best case study because he's 16, 15, and he's at that age of where, you know, and I think about it, I'm like, he spends the most time with his teachers because it's for 6 hours every day, for 6 hours, 7 days a week, you're in school.
Wow.
And you learn from your teachers. So I'm like, wow, the heroes here are the teachers because they're the ones who, because my teachers shaped me the way I think.
Absolutely.
I still use some of the jokes my old professors and teachers said, you know.
Right.
I use that actually.
I love
No, but yeah, but then, you know, with him being 15 and now there's like Instagram and all these phones, which is incredible. You know, what I find that is very common with kids is that they have like this, like, you know, they want to learn, but it's like everything needs to be so quick.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we're losing that as far as education. Like, you need to, like, slow down and, you know, learn things. Yeah, the process.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you start
preaching about education.
You're preaching.
About education. I'm like, oh, my God, it's so necessary.
But, absolutely. Yeah. It really is. And I think the more that we can, you know, with your platform, if you're encouraging people to be educated, you know, there's not a lot of artists that are saying that.
Yeah.
But, you know, and we'll talk about it, but the more that you step into business and at the levels that you're at, you really have to have a
proper
really
knowledge.
Good, yeah, proper knowledge, exactly. Yeah,
of everything, you know, just be interested.
Yeah.
Yeah, just be interested and you can apply everything to your life, you know?
Yeah. And the only way that can happen though is if that you have the desire to learn and the desire to update, the desire to grow, more that you, you know, understand, man, I really know nothing. I really need to improve. You know, I think that's why you listen to podcasts or read books. It's because it's that thirst, it's that desire for more information, more knowledge. Mm-hmm. Because you make your decision. I always think in leadership, you make your decisions out of your understanding of what you understand.
Yeah.
So I need to understand more.
What's that saying? The wisest man knows nothing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I love that.
Wisest man knows
nothing. Stealing that one.
Yeah. Use that. Yeah.
I
feel like I'm going to be an amazing dad with all these different
quotables. Yeah, just dropping them.
Quotables. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I do
Is
it
that
all
your
the
dad? He does that?
Yeah. He does that all the time. So my father, before he went to work, he would leave me lunch money and different like notes for the day. And he did that for my little brother too. He'd make him breakfast and he would have to read this like a quote or a saying for the day.
Wow.
Yeah, super smart guy. Smart.
Like, so I want you to think about this thought today.
Yeah, just think about it. Just think.
Wow.
You know, and I was like, dang.
Many people don't get that.
Yeah.
You know,
fortunate to have that.
That is, that is a gift to have a father that cares about you, to engage you.
Yeah, or sometimes he'll give like a problem and solve it, like a, you know, mathematics or something. Like he did that. And I thank him for that because I apply all these different, humors and different jokes to my day to day.
So good. Yeah. So I want to get to, because you're 28.
28.
So you're only 28 now.
Only, thank you. Only.
Man, you're just getting started. Are you kidding?
Coming up.
So you're 28 now. What is Rude your first clothing brand, or did you have one before that?
I had one before.
Okay, what was that called?
It's called Primitive.
Primitive.
Yeah, which
did
is
it
opened.
Do okay?
I mean, someone took it and opened a store in the valley with it. Yeah,
so it did okay then.
Yeah, I had a whole name for it.
And so
it,
you sold it?
No. Just I didn't understand. Again, if you don't do the proper knowledge, like you'll pay for it in the end.
Right. But at least you're paying for it at a young age.
Yeah, I didn't have the IP. I didn't own it. I didn't trademark. I didn't do the proper, everything for it.
You learn the hard way.
Yeah, live, but you live and you learn.
Yeah, you do.
But that's also the beauty of like starting young is you have time for mistakes.
Yeah.
100%. One of my good friends at the time was doing a clothing line, and he was like, "You're still living at home. You have no overhead. Take this to your heart and work now till you have like real big boy bills, you know?"
Yeah.
And I remember that summer I just worked. I worked.
That's awesome.
Didn't know like what the results were, but obviously I think the rewards are there, you know?
And probably, I feel like for me, like 18 to 24 was like very formative for me because all I did was work, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Prepare, study, mm-hmm. give my life to my craft.
Yeah, of course.
I'm still benefiting from that.
Yeah, that time.
6-year investment, 7-year investment,
absolutely.
So they're not wasted. Mm-hmm. This Primitive, it's not wasted.
It's not wasted. It's like acquired knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You got to learn the hard way.
Absolutely.
So you start Rude.
Yeah.
And talk to me about that. But first of all, I want to talk about two things there. Give me some thoughts on the name. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing, when you started, like how much money did you have? Like who was on the team? Like talk to me about the genesis of this thing.
Okay, so I built the brand. Really, it wasn't a brand. I just built products that I couldn't afford, products that I wanted that wasn't out in the marketplace.
Right.
Products that I thought people needed at the time.
Wow.
Yeah, I say that all the time in the office, make more things that we need than we want, you know?
That's great.
More needs.
Yeah, yes.
More needs.
I need that piece.
Yeah. I mean, essentially you don't really need everything.
Yeah, but I get it.
You know?
Yeah.
So I made products and, this was a time that actually I think taught me marketing and branding. Mm. I was like, there needs to be something that for people to invest in the product, for them, because it's an investment. Whether you spend a dollar to 10,000, it's still an investment.
Right.
Your money is going somewhere.
Right.
In a world that so much product is thrown out,
man,
it's like you have to make sure that someone is buying this because it makes them feel something,
Right.
So that's when I started creating, and then I started making bandana t-shirts and different, like knitted sweaters, just like stuff. And I was interning for free with Sean Sampson, who at the time was Kim Jones's understudy and now is doing Moschino. And I learned a lot from him. And so I created essentially just clothes, and then it needed a brand name for it to just like be somewhere.
Yeah.
So I was dating this girl and she told me that like it was just a thing that I kept hearing. It was just like Rude, and we talked about it, and she was like, "I think you should just call it that, but honor the family tradition, obviously." And I wanted something that was personal.
Wow.
And I wasn't ready to call it my name, and so I, everyone in my family has RHs.
Yeah.
So then I created the brand Rude with RH.
Wow.
And then I built this sort of like a 5-year plan with, and just like the manifesto of like the actual guy, I call it the modern man's manifesto. Manifesto of a modern man. And built like the whole entire structure of the brand, basically piggybacking off of whatever the foundation is, which is my family. I was like, how do you create something that is forever evolving? Mm. It's about, I think the beauty of like creating a brand now is like, you know where things can go. It can go everlasting. You know, it's like, I was like, how can I create something that doesn't solely rely on just the name or something? It's like, it's like me breathing.
Yeah.
You know, it just evolves. Mm. So then, you know, I created the Rude, which now I'm kind of like, maybe I could have named it differently. You know,
but I like the genesis. I've never heard the description like that.
Yeah. So it's Rude is really just the word. It's like I wanted a word in the dictionary that I could take and make it mine and forever see it as that.
It's really cool.
You know, and sort of like a Nike has, like, what is a Nike?
What is that?
Yeah. What is exactly a Nike? And like, what is a Rude? You know, and I wanted something like that. It was quick and easy. And it was just a topography I chose well. And at the time, mind you, I was living in a 2-bedroom apartment with my family, and my sister and I were sharing a room.
Crazy.
And there's like a computer. I mean, I freely speak about it now. I don't know if I should be, but there's like a computer section in there in the room. And that's when I built like my room, like a little mini room in there. I had like a bed, like a fold out couch and all this stuff. Crazy. Which I laugh at now when people say that I was like a trust fund kid.
Right. Yeah. The dream, you have no idea.
That, you know, then that what that means is I'm a freaking marketing genius.
Yeah.
Like I showed you something so right that you thought that.
Right. You
know? So I was like, I love that. Yeah. I was like, but I came home, but to me, that little room was like still like a mansion, you know, like still I dreamt amazing of things, you know.
It's amazing.
Like, and oftentimes I think, you know, like surely when you are creating or something, there's a time that you go back to when you were growing up or something, or within the 18, 24 age that you go back to. And that is like I call it like a box inside you.
Yeah.
You know, that you go back to that, you reference that feeling, right? For inspiration.
Yep.
Do you do that?
Yeah, of course.
Perfect. Because I feel like every creative has that.
Yeah. It's this defining moments.
It's like a comfort zone or something. So, you know, whatever it is. And that to me is that.
Wow.
It's that time when I was like laying there with two IKEA like things, and I created on a wall with different like things that I was collecting. Still, I valued them like luxury, you know?
And so it starts to, at what moment do you, like, can you recall a moment where you go, oh, it's working? Like it hit.
Yeah.
Like was it somebody like Miguel's wearing it or LeBron or somebody where you go, whoa, this is bigger than I thought it was.
Just recently when I was like seeing some guy wearing it and I kept pacing back and forth just to see if he knew, because I like to test it, because I think a strong brand shouldn't be dictated by like someone selling you the product. It should just be a good product and people buying it, you know? Like, you know, I'm sure there's people that have walked past Steve Jobs and doesn't like when he was alive and had no clue that was Steve Jobs, you know?
Right.
But that to me is like what I want. I want a brand and a product so good that people are buying it.
It's amazing.
You know, like no celebrity, nothing really.
Yeah,
like, but you know, when Chad Veach wears it, I'm very happy.
And, you know, I'll be preaching in the George the other day was like, yo, man, I see you preaching in the Root stuff. We got to get you some new stuff. Because I see you in the same thing. I was like, bro, don't put me on blast like that.
Yeah, no, we got to give you the dunks, the new shoes, you know.
Congrats on those, by the way.
Thank you.
But so you start the art and the fashion and design is your specialty.
I think so.
You're the unicorn, right?
Uh-huh.
You're this kid that's painting, you know, and drawing, and this is the gift. Okay, so you start stepping into investment, because what's fascinating to me, I didn't know this until I moved here, the fashion industry is hard.
It's hardest.
Cutthroat.
Oh my God.
I don't talk to anybody in the fashion industry. It's like, dude, you have no idea. Yeah.
No one's having a good time. No one's having a good time unless we shoot the lookbook.
That is the truth. Yeah. The lookbook shoot is the only time.
And
the
when
music
you show,
is up,
yeah, you're and, showing the clothes. No one's having a good time. No, but man.
It's so.
And it doesn't make it easier that, like, you know, have you seen this Sacha Baron Cohen speech?
No, I haven't. I saw a clip of it, but I gotta listen to it.
And I think it's about like, I think we should put more focus on limiting reach on certain things, on certain people, you know. There should be flag things and like, I don't think it's a limit of speech, it's a limit of reach, you know. Like, I don't think a negative person should be able to just reach someone and just like just demolish someone's day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, hey, Chad, that blue sucks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
what?
Like,
I'm having a good day.
Yeah.
And my kids
and
love me.
And I understand it's that, you know, it's supposed to be the Jedi of mentality of mine is that to understand that someone's having a really bad day and they're exerting it to, right. You know, but you shouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, with that and saying that fashion is like not, you know, it's, you know, it's fun, but not that fun.
Man.
So it makes it hard sometimes, you know, because you have people that just come at you like, you know, and that's and off the record, that's something I want to talk to you about. Like,
yeah.
You know, like how does someone deal with those things?
Criticism. Yeah? Well, you're in a lot of noise, a lot of criticism, but also the reality of let's talk business, cash flow.
Yeah.
Like it, how much cash it takes. I always thought, man, you made it to Barney's, you're killing it. You're doing nothing.
No.
If you're in Barney's.
No.
So success is not, I mean, those are, you know, great indicators of growth and yeah. What could happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, you come to this collaboration, and I want to talk about collaboration as well. You come to this collaboration with George and come into this business relationship.
Yeah. George and, is my, what is that? Who's Anakin's?
I don't know it well enough. Yeah, I wish I could
like,
jump in on
he's
it.
Like my Yoda, basically.
Your Yoda, yeah, okay, there you go. Yeah. Because what I think this was a genius move on your behalf, that you go, I'm gifted in this,
yeah.
And I'm going to collaborate with somebody. Yeah. I think great leaders are secure enough to go, I'm going to staff my weakness.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Most insecure people look for themselves. And so they surround themselves with themselves.
Yeah, isolation is
greatness.
Bad. Yeah,
surrounds itself with people that this guy's got a different opinion. This guy's got a different gift.
Yeah,
this person has an ability I do not have.
Yeah,
and so you made talk to me about that process and what it did for.
Oh man, he just I met George at a pivotal time in my career. Like the thing about I think he'll even tell you. I think the difference about me and most creative is I have a business mind.
Wow.
Like I'm actually really, well, yeah. Like mathematics is my thing, you know?
It's great.
Yeah, I did really well. no, but you know, he came at a pivotal time in my life where I couldn't divide anymore. Like you can't, it's like, again, your
capacity.
If you're a phone, you have 100%. You can't give 50-50. Then,
right.
You know, it's two splits. You have to give everything at 100%.
Right.
You know, and it was bleeding through my work that it was showing that I was more focused on like the infrastructural part of the company, you know? So then the inspiration isn't fully there. You're making decisions to supply like for cash flow. You know, those are things that's like, you know, even now as the business has grown, like we talk about it, like we can't just keep making commercial things or like things for the sale. You know?
Right, right, right.
No, but yeah, I met him at a pivotal time where I needed that, like some help. And he came to me and he was like, look, I see you're a talented young man and
yeah.
I want to work with you. And we just has been the best decision I've ever made.
That's you know? Amazing.
I think he adds a different perspective in my creativity that I didn't think I needed in the beginning.
Right.
You know, but then it's about openness. It's about like allowing, you know, other people to come in. And bring in different ideas. And he did that.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, it's kind of crazy. It's like, we just throw alley-oops at each other in the office on like
awesome.
How to grow the business. So, and he actually opened up my mind on how big a company can be, you know, cause we have dreams of like, yeah, I want to have a Nike. I want to be an Apple or I want to be a Dior or whatever, or a Men's or something.
Right. Right.
You know, but then you don't, when you actually fully like face it, you're like, oh shoot, like this is like real, hold
right.
on
right.
hold on, yeah, like, yeah, exactly. And then he made it to me that it, like, you can make things happen, you know. And still now I doubt myself on things like that, you know. And I read that too, like man's greatest weakness is doubt. Yeah, doubt is man's greatest weakness.
Huge.
Yeah, doubt, like we all deal with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like the guy that's like problem solver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody the other day talking about lies that leaders listen to. Mm-hmm. And we all have in our head some lies.
Mm-hmm.
And you need people around you to tell you who you are or what we can do to make that lie run away.
Yeah.
And some people are good at self-talk.
Yeah.
And they can just go like, get out.
I give myself a pep talk in the bathroom sometimes.
You have to, right? I also need a few people around me that are like, hey, no, we can. And what's on you is this and you, with your gift. And sometimes they're like, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, like.
And what's also great about George is like, you know, with age comes experience and just knowledge that you cannot beat without, because it's time put in. You just cannot beat that. Yeah. And he's so positive and just a super nice guy.
Yeah, he's the best.
Makes work easier, you know?
So you make a decision to collaborate there.
Yeah.
And then you've made decisions to collaborate, you know, doing shoes and different projects.
Yeah.
What's your process of thinking where you're like, I'm going to say no to them because I can tell this is not the best move for the brand and for myself? What are some deciding factors that for you to go like, okay, yep, I'm gonna share my platform and what I've built with you.
Yeah. Well, lately I've been more like really thinking in on that because I come from a field where, you know, I didn't have much, you know, like it's, and I can say that with, you know,
right.
And I didn't have much. So anything that could come, I was ready because I didn't like, I fully believe in my creativity that you can give me anything and I can make it gold. You know, because I just believe in myself. There is no, you know, there's no bad. And it's something I'm practicing too with like existentialism and accepting things for what they are and not having full judgment on things and appreciating that, you know, nothing is bad. It's everything is fire or anything is fire for someone, you know. That's why they're out. That's why products are built. You know, any product, it's like that bad AirPod is someone's favorite AirPod
ever.
Yeah. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, so that bad laptop is still someone's favorite laptop.
I can knock it, but they love it.
Yeah, exactly. So then I start to think about it. Like I can really be anywhere and I can create. And now that I, you know, have the proper people that I've acquired to bring around me, they're teaching me more to be more specific.
It's great.
So I would be lying to you if I said that I was, you know, super specific on things. I just knew who to align the brand with, you know, as far as actual Rude and what it sits next to and what different luxury brands it sits next to.
Yeah.
But as far as collaborations, to me, it's like, it's cooler that, you know, like we do something that's, you would be like, why, you know? But you know, as obviously as time goes and I'm understanding the business more, I have the right people again telling me,
right,
you know, advising me like, yo, maybe we shouldn't, you know, go this way.
But I feel like you, what is unique about you is I will use the word favor. Like in our cul-de-sac, we would call it favor. Another way you could describe it is there's just a likability about you.
Thank you.
And the way that you move and the way that you're very respectful to others.
Thank you.
And I think your family has kept you grounded and humble. So talk to me about, you know, Virgil endorses you and, you know, all these people embrace you. How do you stay, you know, because 28 with the brand and the success and the GQ with you with Posty in the back. How do you stay grounded amidst such wild success? I mean, the last 36 months has changed your life. Not that it's changed you
as a person. Yeah.
But it's changed the reality of we don't have a couch from IKEA no more. You know, we're not in the little, we're not sharing with sister. You know what I mean? Like your world's changed.
Yeah.
So how do you stay grounded? How do you stay rooted amidst success?
I spend a lot of time with my family and my little brother. My little brother, if not, you know, you have to find the purpose of why you're doing what you do. It's very, like, I always said to myself, I'll never lose my foundation and the why.
Yeah.
The why is the most important for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like why we wake up every day. It's, you know,
it's
why we do the things we do. It's to really know that. And no, it's a rhetorical thing, but, you know, it's just like everyone has that why. And for me, it's like I have to make sure that that is still in place. And if it has evolved, it needs to be a deeper why, you know? And
it's great.
I spend a lot of time with my family.
Do your parents ever kind of go like, hey, man, chill out? Or like, hey.
Of course. I mean, that's the time when they're like, yo, we church at 12 o'clock.
Yeah. You're going to be there.
Yeah, I'm there, you know? And my family donates and they actually do
Wow.
A lot of work with the, you know, Catholic Church.
And wow.
It's insane.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's insane the amount of like their faith and how much they just are so open.
Mm.
Open. Just like, you know, they're, you know, I mean, obviously there's still like culturally, there's still like some cultural
sure.
things that they just cannot, like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like oil. It's yeah, like yeah. oil. It's oil on water. Just cannot take out.
Yeah.
You know, but they're just like really wonderful people.
Wow.
You know,
but if you have faith and family going for you, you have an advantage yeah. in this town. I mean, yeah. come on.
But I start to think sometimes, to be honest with you, I feel like I could just be open here.
Yeah, and of course.
Talk. And I feel like sometimes like kids don't are not interested in that foundation anymore. I feel like they want something that's just like they want something sold to them. I don't know. I think about it a lot.
Totally.
I'm scared for that. I talk to my little brother about it, you know.
I want to get back to your little brother, but I just want to, you know, I think that's why we have a responsibility.
Yeah, yeah. I think more leaders.
We have a responsibility to let kids who are watching you, you know, I love that about you. I love that about George. I love that about Jerry. I love that about people that are like, hey, just a heads up, like.
Yeah, don't lose it. Don't lose yeah, that. You know?
And don't think it's about something it's not.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that message. It has to. The thing with Kanye in the Sunday service is like, man, that's doing something for people.
Absolutely,
he's using his platform right now
yeah.
for so much good. It's yeah. resonating. And if a guy like you, if a guy like Kanye says, man, you want to know what it's about? Like, put the gram away. It's Sunday.
Yeah,
that's a big deal.
That is
in our culture.
That is.
Otherwise, yeah. they would go like, because basically. For yourself, Kanye, people that have such great influence, people are going like, I'm going to do what you do.
Yeah.
I don't know what drives you yet. I don't know the why behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I see the silhouette of who you are and I'm going to mimic it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you can give them the why.
The why is necessary.
It's like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the way that we say
it. But like, it's funny when you uncover it and I think what my mission is to really uncover that. The why is not anything but what you already have.
Right.
What you already have and just
that's
like
it.
Embrace it.
That's it.
And just embracing that, you know, like it's just, it's family. It's like, even if you don't have a family, it's what you already have.
Yep.
Yeah. That's like my answer for luxury. It's time.
Mm.
Time, man. Time is the like, you know, I always get asked because new luxury is a new term for like these post streetwear high-end designers like myself and
yep.
you know V and all the other guys
yep.
and I get asked, you know, like what is luxury, and I think it's time and experience.
That's amazing.
You know, time and experience, it's you know, we only get so much of that,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, this month's top five, always bringing a top five leadership thoughts for the month. And I want to talk around the idea of great leaders are. And when you know what a great leader is, you know what a great leader is not. So much of culture is not just defining who we are and what greatness looks like, but also being okay with going, it's not this. We're not going to operate in that way. We're not going to speak in that kind of tone. We're not going to uncover other people's weaknesses. So great leaders define what we are and also are aware of looking at. That's why I always think it's okay if you're under poor leadership. If you're under bad leadership right now, just be taking notes of what not to do. I'm not going to talk like that. I'm not going to treat people that way. I'm not going to handle conflict like that. I'm not going to be insecure. So we can look at the negative and still conclude what is the positive. So I want to talk around this idea. Great leaders are. What are they? We know what they're not. It's not that. It is what? Let me give you five things. Number one, they are problem solvers. I love this about great leaders. They are solution oriented. So just because you can point out the problem does not make you an expert. You become great and you become an expert when you can point out a solution. Now, I love this about Daniel in the scriptures, that it said that Daniel was found 10 times better. He had more understanding. He had more insight. He had a greater ability to dissect things and look at the solution. And that's how he found favor. You know, you will be of so much value to your company, your organization, if you can have an ability to go, you know what? We're going to solve this problem. We've hit a lid. There's a cap. We can't break through the ceiling. So I can see this is the solution that is needed. Could be in a relationship, could be in an employee, could be in yourself. We are problem solvers. We don't just see the problem. We see the solution. And in fact, we don't bring the problem to the table until we've identified the solution that is essential. Number two, we are drama droppers. Great leaders know how to drop the drama. In other words, save the drama for your mama. We don't want drama around here. We want to be peacemakers. We want to calm the waters. We want to bring all of the tension. I always think, you know, when there's an issue, it's like that, you know, that snag in the carpet. And if you don't get after it right away, it's just going to get bigger and bigger. We've got to be quick to get in front of the conflict and quick to get in front of the offense. Otherwise, I mean, this thing's just going to go. It's going to go sideways. There's going to be a lot of collateral damage. And so we drop the drama. How do we drop the drama? It's not just that we turn the other cheek or, you know, we ignore. It's that we're peacemakers. We're willing to sit down and have a conversation with anybody because to the best of our ability, we don't want to live in a world of strife, conflict, and anger. We actually want to create harmony, unity, transparency. All of that is up to us, not up to them. I always feel like whenever we have drama in our world, I always think to myself, how can I be a part of solving this? Is there anything I can do to just let this, we need to, okay, so I got to have a conversation. I got to have an ability and a backbone to sit down with somebody if I want to drop the drama. The drama can stop with me, not only with me talking to them, but me not repeating the issues that are going on. I got to seal my lips and use this one of my favorite words in leadership, discretion. Covering, so important. Here's the third thing. We are energy managers. So in other words, I know that you're giving away a lot of energy, but remember, in leadership, you can never give away what you do not possess. I can only give what I have. So if I don't have energy to give, what ends up happening for a lot of leaders, we over-caffeinate. We start to just live on adrenaline and your deficit spending, and you're giving away what you really don't have. If I want to give loads of energy, I've got to receive loads of rest. I love this. We're commanded to work hard 6 days and then one day don't produce. One day just rest, chill, receive, because man, you're giving away more than you realize. There's more virtue. There's more brain power. There's more excitement. There's more passion going out of you than you realize. And so we are less concerned. Not that I don't care about it. We are less concerned with time management, and I'm more concerned with energy management. So I'm always thinking, okay, if I've got this meeting and I got to go speak at this thing and I've got to do this, that, and the other, it's going to equate to about that much energy. If I want to be good, sharp, clear, and my best in those moments, I actually do need to, well, go home, get a good night rest, drink some water, watch some Sports Center, receive so that I can give. When Jesus speaks to the crowd and goes, who touched me? He realizes virtue, strength left me. You got to be aware when people are grabbing at you and want something from you, leader, you're giving away more than sometimes you have. We got to be good at managing our energy. Here's the fourth one. We are atmosphere fillers. I love this. The atmosphere starts with me. I am a lot of times, you know, we're not just creating energy and vibes. I'm so aware that I have the ability to create an atmosphere that's fun and lighthearted and excited and friendly, or you can create an atmosphere that's dry and boring and mundane and religious and blah. No, I want to create an atmosphere where it's like, I've seen some people, I call them, they're worth 10. Just that one person in the front row or that one person in the meeting, it's like they're spark plug. They're just, man, they're just filling the space with positivity and energy. We've got to look at our role. Great leaders are atmosphere fillers. You're filling the room with your I almost said swag, but I don't use that word. You're filling the room with your energy and your excitement. And when you do that, you realize that you have the ability to shift the atmosphere. You could shift it into the positive, shift it into belief, shift it into excitement, into expectation. I always, for in church space, I always think, you know, when I bring my faith to the table, I'm changing the atmosphere. And the atmosphere, it could be dull, but if I add my faith, then all of a sudden there's atmosphere of expectation and faith, and I'm setting a table for God to do something great in somebody's life. Here's the last one, number five, and I love this one. We are strategic thinkers. Great leaders are strategic thinkers. Let me encourage you, leader. You need three people in your life. You need somebody that challenges you, or another word for that would be encourages you in your spirit. Another one that really touches your systems, and another person that helps you with strategy. So spirit, system, strategy. Who helps you with your spirit, your character, your love for God, the spirit of who you are? I always need a few people around me that it's like, oh man, when I'm with them or around them, when I'm listening to them, they really provoke my spirit. Okay, so I've got people in my world that help me with that. Then systems. I've got people that help me create budgets, routine, discipline, systems in our organization. I love this. If you don't like the results you're getting, you should be upset with the systems you have, because your systems are set up to deliver the results that you're seeing. So I need people in my life that help me with systems. But the last one is strategy. Strategic thinkers. People that think strategically with schedule. They think strategically with what to do with, you know, series of, for our context, with preaching, strategy with where to invest money. You need strategists. I believe great leaders have the ability to be strategic with their time, their treasure, their talent, their schedule, everything about them. They're strategic to the core. And I believe when you step into strategy, all of a sudden you can get more accomplished in a less amount of time. Some of us, we work so hard. It's like, nah, if you're strategic, you can get more work done in a less amount of time. How is that? Just implementing strategy. So I want to encourage you, go find people in your life that help you. Spirit, probably already there. System, you're aware, but get strategy. Someone that helps me so much with my strategy is Rich Wilkerson Jr. is phenomenal. He's a strategic thinker. So I get people around me like that, and I ask, how can I approach this situation? And he gives me strategy on it. Get people around you, because that will help elevate your leadership so you can also become a strategic thinker. I love you so much. This month's top five. Take me back to your little brother, because I love the way that you are mentoring him.
Yeah.
Invest. He's got his own brand.
He's I'm allowing him to learn that there's like wounds to be like, you know, this, if this is the time you want, if this is what you want, like I'll let you see this, get a little bit of reward, but you'll feel some things, you know, because obviously he has some advantage, you know, but I don't want that, you know? And I keep telling my parents that. I was like, he needs to feel like this is a journey. Like he has his own journey.
You can't skip it.
Yeah. You can't skip the learning.
No,
you know, can't skip the learning. So then I help him out. I give him some design. He just did futures merch.
He's 16. Dude,
16 did futures merch. I was like, and says nothing about it to his kid too. That is, to me, is the greatest like testament of like his character.
It's wild.
I told my parents, like, we've done right if he's like just good. You know, he's just good.
Moving quiet.
Quietly. You know, he's like, he told me, he's like, you know, it's just work. It's just work. And I like
the rest of his kids in the school would be freaking out.
Freaking out. Yeah.
It's just work.
But I mean, he has every new Jordans, new off-whites, new everything. I just send it all to him. You know? He's like, I was like, I want to be that kid when I was in high school.
Right.
You know,
of course,
so I was like, yeah, feed the kid or whatever he wants, you know.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me about, you know, you're mentoring him.
Yeah.
Who were those guys? You mentioned somebody already, but who were guys that, two things, who inspires you today? You look and you go, the way they move, maybe not even the look or the brand itself as much as the person, who are inspiring people to you. Your father is one.
Yeah, my father.
Your mother, you know, family. Who are people you go like, man, the way their character, their thinking, mm-hmm. their creativity, that's the level I'm trying to get to.
Well, you, first of all, I think, I think you're, again, we'll talk about it off the record, but just like the stillness, you know, like to be accepting and to be understanding, compassionate. That's like so hard to achieve, you know, like it's easier for us to react and be negative when, you know, because it's a defense mechanism that we build, you know, it's like if someone punches you, you punch back
right
away.
Right.
You know, but then to understand that it's like, it's not that, you know,
right.
That's like my admiration for you.
Oh, thank you.
You know, Hove. Over the last few months, I've gotten, kind of close.
Amazing.
With that team and just being able to like talk to Swiss and Hove and these guys on just like a level of like an acute thinking that's just like, you know, what is the, you know, and it's, again, as I learn, it's about time and family. It's not anything else.
Right.
It's not, you know, if kids think it's like something crazy, it's about time, respect, and understanding that, you know, you people choose to give you that time.
That's right.
You know, people like you have a choice and you choose to like give that amount of time to people and exert that energy, share that time, share that. Because, you know, when I was just looking up from the outside and, you know, I thought it was so many things, you know, I thought it was like.
Right.
Yeah, but it's just like we're just regular people. Like this, it's just people living.
Sit.
And it's about like sharing knowledge. Mm-hmm. I find that, you know, hoarding knowledge has not been a trait that any of the great ones they shared knowledge.
Right.
They shared wealth. Mm-hmm. They shared knowledge. They mm-hmm. shared time. And the resources.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's like a grocery store. It's like you can.
Yeah.
You can buy all the right tools. It's just what you make with it.
It's beautiful.
You know, you buy all the vegetables and all this stuff, but there's still a Michelin star.
Right.
There's still a Michelin star chef.
Right.
And this, you know.
Right.
It's about, yeah.
And I think, you know, first of all, if that stuff is not, if time and family and respect, if the right things aren't driving you, that stuff will be revealed over time.
Like you might
hide it for a little while and fool us. Yeah,
the well runs dry when it's that.
It does.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you do respect somebody is because you get closer to them. I always think that greatness, first of all, greatness is easy to be around.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, there's a stillness.
Yeah, there's a stillness.
There's a comfort.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, I thought I'd be around so-and-so and I'd be like so, but they put me at ease. Cause they're at ease themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's gotta be that. Then in addition to that, I think when, cause they've probably gone through their bumps and bruises to conclude like we have, this is what really matters.
Yeah.
When that happens and you conclude that's what really matters, you start to get benevolent.
Yeah.
With your resources.
Yeah.
Look at Kobe right now.
Yeah.
You think young Kobe, the savage would have been this generous and training young guys and
no.
But retire Kobe?
Yeah.
You know, he's like, come on, Jason Tatum, come on.
That's true.
You know, yeah, Kawhi, come on, anybody.
He's improving.
Hove is at a place. Why is he with the New York Times CEO doing a 2-hour video? It's because he recognizes I'm good now.
Yeah, yeah.
I can.
And there's something to learn from everyone. you know?
Yes.
Like I even, like, it's funny when I do design sessions, no, it's free will. Everyone, even I ask like our cleaner in the office, like, what color do you like?
Wow.
You know, there's a mutual respect for everyone, you know?
Right.
I think it's about taste choices. It doesn't matter. It's like an everyday thing. People choose to wear clothes every day.
Right.
So then you ask everyone like what it is. You know?
I love that. I love to ask me, what do you think? How about you?
Contributions is open for me.
Right.
You know, I'm like, if it's a design session, it's obviously it's focused on the silhouette, but then right. You know, I give a freedom for people.
I love that. When I came to your office and you see all the young guys that are hungry, that are trying to make
funny
it.
Guys.
Yeah, funny guys, right?
Yeah.
They're like, you know, they're just eager. They're ready to.
Yeah.
You know, but I love that you got room for them. You're not like, no,
of
you,
course.
You know,
and
you
I want to give, I want to uncover the whole curtain and let them know this is not a pretty show. You know?
Right.
It's not a pretty show. If anything, it's like a really, really messy kitchen.
Right.
And at the end, and the dish is just nicely put.
Right.
Damn, I have all these. I might be hungry. No, I'm not.
We going to Denny's. Like, what? There's not even a Denny's around here. Anyways, last thing I want to talk about is dealing with, you know, the future.
Yeah.
How do you, so let's last 36 months or whatever, just, you know, a wild, you know, amazing ride.
Yeah.
As you forecast and you try and stay ahead, as you try and update, what's on your radar, not from an organizational standpoint, but from a creative standpoint? How do you feel as a creative? Do you go like, I'm just going to keep doing the same plays? What's got me here is going to get me to the next place. How do you reinvent now?
You feel it intuitively. You feel it like what feels like it's been the same move, or it's been, you know, like you just feel, you get a feel that people are like catching up or whatever it is. Mm. Or you like, I read and I watch films and, you know, I'm going back to like my old ways of, you know, just going to little taco shops, just like getting that feeling again in my box.
Right.
To like read.
So you go back to original stuff.
Yeah.
I would do the same.
I go back to original stuff.
Because the original stuff, for some reason,
it's
my practices.
Pure.
My disciplines.
It's pure.
They set all that off in me.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I got to go back to that well.
I go back to that well and then I reinvent. You know, I reinvent and.
But yeah. I got to take all the film and the, you know, the YouTubes and the, you know, whatever I've been watching on social media, and then take that plus that quietness.
Yeah.
To create. You would do the same?
Yeah, actually. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I try to, how I create is I contrast a lot. Mm. You know, like I do polar opposite things.
Mm.
You know, let's say like I'll go like Japanese dojo and like festivals.
Mm.
You know, like how does that, you know, Japanese dojo culture is like fully traditional and just like stillness, you know, and,
wow.
and so much of like festival culture is about advancement and loud music and gathering.
Right.
So how does that work together?
Wow.
You know, like where is the midpoint? You know, that's, I think that's how I create.
That's beautiful.
I build storylines through that and I see like more emotional, I build off of more emotions like with design.
Mm.
You know, which is tough as a creative because you put your, it's like I ask you how your day went and you tell me how your day went and I'm like, oh, it sucks. Like that's the noise that I have to deal, like we all have to deal with,
right,
because
right,
like
right,
there's,
right.
You know, obviously that noise and right. I'm like, phew. But you know, I'm designing from such an emotional place. You
right.
know, it's not, none of it is like, you know, well, there's the business decisions that needs to like, you know, that meets numbers
right.
and quotas and that's that, you know, but when I'm designing like actual, like real garments, you know, I'm like, I'm putting my soul into this. You
yeah.
know? And it's like, it's putting like,
so you gotta have soul work.
Yeah.
It's the old saying, only a mind can reach a mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only a heart can reach a heart, or a soul can reach another soul.
Yeah.
So you have to put your soul into it.
Yeah. And you know, at the time when I started the brand, I was like, I was, again, like in a very, very like weird place. And like, you know, financially, I was like low.
Right.
And, but I was still very happy.
Yeah.
And it was like more, and I designed more on like just through like referencing like sorrows and stuff. And I was like, I always say this, like everyone can relate to a pain. Like everyone has felt pain, you know?
Everybody.
Everyone has felt pain. Not everyone has felt victory, but everyone has felt pain.
Yeah.
You know? And that's like, that was like a reference point when I started.
I love that.
But now that I'm like focusing more on, again, existentialism and like being like more accepting, I guess things are changing. My opinions are changing.
Yeah.
I'm getting older, obviously.
Yeah, right.
You know, my focus is more about like, what is it that's going to be really inclusive for kids, you know? Because I don't think it's about just like one thing. It should be.
It's great.
Everything.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, man, I want to say thank you so much for coming on.
Man.
Much respect to you.
Man, thank you.
I'm right here in the front row rooting for you.
Thank you.
Cheering you
guys
on.
That means a lot to me.
Yeah, I just can't wait to see where your life goes, and we're with you guys before you guys.
I'm scared.
Leadership Lean In. We love you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in Raw through your favorite podcast app.
Do you ever feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, we're going to learn all about God's big story and how He shows Himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.